Hey everyone, thanks again for joining us for another great episode and another week of The Next Stage. This week, me and Tyler Williams go in and talk to the legend, Sep Kuss. Sep Kuss, Durango, Colorado native, now racing in Spain, racing for Dutch World Tour team. We go into it all. We go into how Sep got started into racing, from mountain bikes to now racing in the top of the World Tour. We go into talking about his incredible victory at Tour of Utah, how that did a change in his career. We talk about the stage win he won at the Vuelta a España while also working for his leader for the overall win. This is a great episode. I'm super excited. I hope you guys enjoy it. Stay tuned and enjoy. Awesome. Sep, dude, thanks for joining us this week. We're super excited to have you on.
Thanks a bunch, guys, for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast.
So you're in, tell everyone where you're at and like what's going on right now. What's the routine at this time of the year for coronavirus and everything?
Yeah, so now I'm in Andorra for the lockdown. I was in Spain. I was in a town just a little bit in kind of the next valley over from Andorra. I was locked down there for a while, and then about a month ago we were able to go outside again, and everything's been progressing from there. And then I actually have my residency up here, so then came up here and just been enjoying the mountains. Still feels a bit like springtime, but I think the weather's going to come around. But just getting ready for what hopefully is the start of the the actual season. But you got to take it one week at a time still, I think.
Yeah, why
this bizarro world season.
Why did you stay in Europe? Because I know a lot of guys, like, they came back almost straight away. What was the reason for you staying over there?
Right. Well, my girlfriend's here, and, you know, I wanted to spend more time with her. And, you know, initially when the situation started, I knew it was a big deal, but I didn't know how long it was going to be, what kind of travel restrictions there was going to be afterwards, things like that. And, you know, at this point, I'm pretty comfortable, or every year I'm getting more comfortable just living in Europe and having that be part of my life. So, I mean, for me, it made sense to stay here and continue getting more accustomed to living here. I'm enjoying it. So
nice. And you were pretty big. That's awesome. You were pretty big into the, you did a lot of the Zwift racing for your team. How is that for you? I've been doing a bunch, so
I can
get your take on it. You were pretty good, I saw, on your results.
Oh, it was actually really fun. I mean, it's a lot different than normal racing, but I think it was, for me, it was kind of fun because you had that same kind of, adrenaline rush. You had the same strategies as a normal race, so you know, it made the time go by so fast, and you know, it was like a race where you have nothing to lose, and you just go and play. You know, it's like a video game, and then, you know, you get a good workout in, you get that endorphin boost, and you know, if you're with your friends or your teammates racing, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel the same way about it. Like, it's a good tool for especially this time. In the world where, like, you can still get that little bit of stimulation for like an actual race.
Yeah. And I mean, before I never had tried it,
so
I was like, a little skeptical. And then, you know, I was like, this is actually
it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. It's hard. It hurts.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome, dude. So Sep, you've also been back on your roots, ripping around from what I've seen from your social media. And for everyone who wants to, you know, follow you, just what, Sep Kuss, social media, Instagram and stuff, right? but it's seen you've been going back to a lot of mountain biking right now, been channeling kind of, you know, started racing it. Is that correct? I mean, maybe you could help a lot, everyone kind of listening, how you got started into the sport of where you are now. And I mean, I think you have a really, really interesting story.
I started out mountain biking and mountain bike racing. And for me, at least my first experiences in cycling or with bikes were on mountain bikes and, you know, exploring around on mountain bikes and in Colorado and, you know, just being really out in the woods and the mountains, things like that. So yeah, especially at this time when there's the, you know, your goals or whatever are so far off and you actually have time to do more of the things you've want to be doing in terms of exploring around or things like that. It's been so nice to go on the mountain bike and just, like you said, reconnect with, you know, yeah, exactly. Just having so much fun exploring.
What age did you, what age were you when you started?
I mean, probably 6, 7, you know, just going out with my mom or my parents. And then, yeah, we had a good little, development Devo program in Durango, and then, you know, from there it's like all my friends are doing it, and it was such a cool way to grow up mountain biking.
Nice. And then you jumped to the road when you were 7, or no, when you were 19. When did you go, like, how old were you when you went to Gateway?
I think that was probably when I was about 20.
20? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're the same age as me. No, you're 94.
Yeah, 94. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you came in late because, as far as like the road stuff goes, you were already like pretty successful on the mountain bike.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
were you racing for the national team? Just on the mountain bike. At that point?
On the road, I didn't do anything with the national team until my last year as a U23.
Sep's first trip I was on, actually, we did. That's right. I did part of it. I did the first block. Yeah, we did all sauce together. That was Sep's first European race, if I'm correct. Which was funny to think about, because like you could tell how strong Sep was already, and like he had already been so successful in North America at that point. You like stagiaired or whatever for Rally, I think, at that point, or signed like halfway through the season. So you were already on Rally, but. You could just tell, like, you didn't know that, like, you had to go through the same adjustment period as everyone in Europe for, like, about the positioning into a climb and stuff, because you'd been coming from North America. You would just see, I personally would see Sep, because Tour of Alsace, for people who don't know, it's like in the, it's like near on the German border of France, but like fairly hilly, pretty solid climbs. And Sep would just, like, I'd be suffering away as I do like mid pack, and pack would be single file. You'd be going as hard as you could, and you'd just see Seth going up the outside on every climb. And then it happened every climb. He would go from the back to the front, back to the front, back to the front. And it was just like Seth, like learning, like that you had to start the climbs in the front in Europe. You can sell how strong. Yeah, I think you're probably a lot better at it now, though. You wouldn't have the results you do if you were still trying to do that.
Yeah.
But man, it was incredible, because you could just be like, wow, this guy is so good. Yeah, it was funny to think back at that time.
I just remember getting my head absolutely kicked in that race, and especially Lavenir afterwards. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, this is not what I signed up for. This is terrible. This is a totally different sport. What am I doing here? But you gotta keep at it.
Was that any help? I mean, with like being over in Europe, you signed then for Rally the next year, which is an American based team, and I mean, was that kind of the goal, to stay more in America for another year and kind of develop? Or, I mean, like you said, you felt a little nervous with Alsace and everything. Was it kind of like, oh, I just want to maybe kick it in with Rally in America or see where this goes? Or, because at that point, Rally too, I didn't feel like was at the verge where they are now, mm-hmm. where they're really pushing.
I think for for myself, I honestly didn't really know where I wanted to take it, because it was all so new to me, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Oh, the next year, month. Oh, this is, you know, and you're always improving, and you never, at least for me, I never had any time to step back and say, okay, this is where I want to go, or this is where I want to take this. You know, it was all just coming at me so fast. And I mean, when I did eventually sign, and to start riding in Europe, it was a hard decision, because it's like, yeah, you have to move your whole life, and you know, you're not sure if it's going to work out, if you're ready to do it physically, or, you know, so it's a big jump. But but for me, it was never like, oh, I need to be racing in Europe. I mean, even now I would be happy being in the U.S. had the circumstances been different, but yeah.
Talk about one thing I think that you probably have a pretty interesting story with is, so when you signed with Lotto in 2018, right? 18.
Yep.
Like, talk about that adjustment period for you, because it didn't go like super smoothly at first, and like, yeah, how was that first year? Like, what was the learning process like for you?
Yeah, I think when I first came to Europe, you know, it wasn't too big of an adjustment, just because, you know, as a kid growing up, we traveled a lot to Europe, and it wasn't, you know, a culture shock in that sense. But then when you're actually living there, you know, there's all the little things that you realize you miss from home, and you have fewer of those things to fall back on, I guess. So that was a bit hard. And then, you know, on the team, you realize that you're riding in a team where it's like, yeah, the results really, really matter. And you're here to do a job. And there's some pressure for a first year pro on the team. They're not going to say, okay, yeah, you have to be here. Da, da, da. You know, they're going to make it easier for you, but at the same time, I was realizing, yeah, this is a job, and you know, you can't, you know, certain things that I would take lightly, I couldn't really take lightly anymore, like diet, certain things in training, you know, positioning in the races, things like that. But I think the biggest thing for me is I was really open to learning, and I was really excited to learn. And that's what's been so fun for me in road racing, is because there is so much to learn. So I think just trying to take in as much as I could, I really struggled in the beginning of my first year, but then, you know, halfway through the season, towards the end of that season, I had learned so much, and
you know, dominated Tour of Utah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
but
so yeah, so I, you moral of the story,
and you get better. Yeah.
Yeah, moral of the story, Sepp learns really quickly, because by the end of that year, he was absolutely just demolishing everybody in Tour Utah. Oh no.
Yeah, first year on World Tour team, and then won how many stages at Tour Utah? Two?
Three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no.
Three. He won three, and that was one of the most mountainous years, yeah, I feel
well,
like.
It always is, you know how it is, hot, hilly, dry.
Oh my. So what was the vibe like then? I mean, Tour of Utah is near the end of the season. It's the end of your first kind of year of being pro. What was the vibe like prior to that win, or prior to that race? And what was the vibe like afterwards with the team? Were you feeling a little bit of pressure getting closer to the end of the season? And then, or were you chill with the team? And then after you won, was it just like a whole new outlook, or what happened?
I mean, yeah, like I said, in the beginning of the season, I was, you know, I was struggling through every race, not in a way that I was hating it and regretting you know, coming to Europe or anything, but I was like, wow, this is a whole new level. But I think the team could see that I was, always trying and always improving. So you know, they were like, ah, Sepp's, you know, he's definitely having a hard time. Like he has a lot of things that he needs to work on. But, you know, and then after that, when I went home before Utah and could train and kind of reset a little bit, you know, I think they saw the work that I was putting in. You know, they saw that I was losing a lot of the weight that I'd put on in the beginning of the season, things like that. And yeah, so for me, I was really calm. I never had any pressure, you know, from the team or myself. But then, yeah, after that race, when I confirmed, I guess, what I could do or that I actually had potential, then they said, okay, yeah. You know, then they almost let me be myself.
We'll let you off the leash.
Because you have a young guy coming to the team and he doesn't know much about road racing. You want to, you know, micromanage him a bit more. And for me, you know, that helped. But it also, I also needed to go my own way in certain areas. And so they realized that, and they realized that it worked for me. And yeah, that helped a lot, just – you know, having them trust me, I guess.
And then so fast forward 12 months from there, and like I said, you learn really quickly, and you're in the Vuelta team supporting Primoz Roglic for the overall, and then you also knock off a stage win. so, like, as far as learning quickly, what, 2016 you were doing your first race in Europe, and 3 years later you're winning a stage with the Vuelta. So, like, that's, I mean, for anyone, that's just like absolutely incredible progression. But so, like, talk about what was the pressure like at the Vuelta with Primoz being like the favorite, and then obviously showing that he was like the best guy in the race. And then, like, for you, is like, that was your second Grand Tour or first Grand Tour?
That was my third.
It was your third Grand Tour. Okay.
Yeah, so, I did the Giro in that spring. Yeah,
your third.
You did the Giro. So. Yeah, this man's.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I forgot about the
hacked
Giro.
My way.
Yeah, you did do the Giro. That's hard, right. Yeah, I remember you. I remember seeing you there. Okay, so yeah. But then, yeah, let's talk about, like,
oh my,
what was the pressure like in the team? Like, I've heard some kind of funny stories about that day that you were in the break and you did win the stage from Primoz. Like, what he said to you, like, during and after. If you could just reflect on like that experience, but.
Yeah, I mean. For the race as a whole, the pressure was, yeah, a bit higher than I was used to, just because all the other teams knew that we had the best guy. We knew we had the best guy, and you know, when everybody knows that, they'll do anything to flick you, more or less. So, you know, we always had to be alert, you know, be ready. You couldn't let the wrong group get away, so that always made the beginning of the races really tense, you know, because you just didn't want anything to be too out of your control, because you knew that the other teams would exploit it, and they would probably try and maybe even work together to you know, get rid of us. And then, yeah, in that stage in particular, we wanted somebody in the break. If somebody from the teams like Astana or Movistar were in there, just to, you know, in case people were jumping ahead. So yeah, I ended up being the guy that jumped across into that. And then, it was never my idea to go for the stage win until we had a pretty good gap towards the end where it wouldn't be, you know, possible more or less to draw back and help. But yeah, then after the stage, you know, I was happy, of course, but I was also like, oh man, how this is going to go over, because, you know, I didn't go into the break in a way saying, oh, I want to win today. It was just, you know, the circumstances, I could go on to get a result. So I was like, well, you know, for me, the big goal was helping the team, and I didn't want to go against that. So, but I think from the directors, them making the calls, they said, yeah, go for it. You've got the green light. But then for me, I, you know, in the following stages, I just wanted to make sure I was always there for Primoz, and I didn't want him to think that I had like switched off mentally, for example, like, I'm on a stage. Okay. I'm going to put my feet up. You know, I wanted to still really there for him.
Yeah.
So there weren't any.
What did Primoz say? But didn't Primoz say something kind of funny after that stage?
Yeah.
Like,
you better
be there for me tomorrow or something.
Yeah, he's like, if you're dead tomorrow, I'm going to kill you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So was that in the back of your head when you were, I remember I watched the stage live. Cause it was Teo, two of my old teammates, and Ruben were second and third, I think. Was that in the back of your head when you were, cause you absolutely like demolished everyone out of that breakaway. Was that in the back of your head, like, I should not, like, go full gas at any point to save a bit? Or were you just, like, in the moment?
I was definitely in the moment, but it was funny because in the radio in the last few kilometers when the gap was pretty good, the director was saying, okay, don't go too hard now. You still have to race tomorrow. But I was like, no, I can't, like, lose it in the last 2K, you know? I can't have that kind of regret.
Yeah.
So... but then, yeah, I also, if I was just in the peloton and riding for Primoz, it would be the same kind of effort, more or less. I would still have to go full gas until I was dropped. So,
right.
You know, give or take a couple K or so on the climb. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's just really interesting. Like the team orders aspect of it, even though you're going for your first Grand Tour stage win, and then you're like, you have your team leader come to you after and be like, all right, well, don't mess up tomorrow.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. And yeah, from him, he didn't mean it in any intimidating way or any.
Oh, he's just joking.
Yeah. Oh, he was serious. I bet you too, he was like... serious. he's trying to win the Vuelta, man. It's like, it's about like winning the battle versus the war. But
yeah,
I think it's, yeah. I mean, that was an incredible stage. Like, you were.
Oh,
and your head and shoulders above everyone. I was so stoked to see it. It's nice to see like the good guys win. I mean, there was three really good dudes on the podium that day. You, Teo, and Ruben, which was pretty neat to see. All three guys I've been teammates with, so that was neat.
Yep. Thank you.
So then,
yeah, that was pretty awesome. I was just stoked that you know, someone from the Good Vibes camp was able to
laid down
pull
the
off
foundation
a great result
for
like
it
that.
In the,
you know,
in December,
the foundation.
That's awesome,
Utah. Yeah,
I feel like that's important to know. You Colin. Know, me, you, Colin, getting together, doing some good rides. Those guys just beating me down, crawling home. Oh my gosh! No, it's a so good time. Good. No, that's pretty awesome. So, you had that stage win. And then this year, man, you're moving into this year, good vibes, positive things, momentum. You were put on the short list for the tour in December?
Yep.
Is that correct? So now, I mean, let's talk about what it looks like, you know, your goals, everything, training, going into this year, and then obviously with delays and turnarounds. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, since they announced more or less the team in December, for me it was a lot of motivation, and yeah, you have a clear picture of what you need to do, what you need to prepare for, but yeah, it's also so far out at that time.
Did you celebrate when you found out? Did you celebrate?
Not really. I mean, they kind of gave me an idea more or less that I would be, you know, leading into that. So it wasn't like, oh my God, yeah, it's total shot. But yeah, and maybe it would have jinxed it too, because it was like December. And I'm like, well, anything could happen. You know, I could be terrible.
Like a global pandemic could happen. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, a pandemic. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I kept it. Yeah, I didn't try and think about it too much because it was still a ways away. But yeah, now that everything's reshuffled around and, from what I hear from the team, everything is from the organizers' point of view, everything's going better than they thought at this point in time. So, yeah, hopefully we can still do especially the big races like the Tour, and also, yeah, already other races starting in July. But yeah, leading up to that, it'll just be we have an altitude camp coming up, and then Vuelta Burgos in Spain, and then Dauphiné. So there'll be, you know, plenty of race time to get up to speed. But yeah, the season will just be so condensed, and I think that'll be for sure totally new for everybody.
One interesting thing that I guess like has kind of worked out as far as your future with like the global pandemic is when you got announced to that Tour team back in December, you weren't going to be able to do the Olympics, right?
Yeah, more or less. Well, the complication was that I was going to do the Vuelta afterwards, and
right,
to do the Vuelta well, you would need to have a rest after the Tour, do maybe a bit of altitude training or something, and then be ready. But yeah, if you went to Tokyo right after the Tour and go race in the heat, then you could race the Vuelta, but you're not going to be able to maybe be at your level.
Yeah. But now that's on the table because they've obviously delayed the Olympics now a year. So yep. Now that puts that that possibility out there for you. And you were on the long list, and that course suits you, if I'm correct.
Yeah. So I heard it's a really tough course. So
yeah. So like, what's your ambition as far as that goes?
Yeah, I think, like you said, maybe the postponement is a bit better for me because next year will be a different situation with how the races are lining up and you know, different schedules and everything. But yeah, for sure, I'd love to be on the Olympic team. I know it's hard in the U.S. because we can only send two guys, and they obviously need someone that's going to be good in the time trial, and that's definitely not me. I'm probably last in the world for a time trial day.
But in the
road race, you know, I think, yeah, it's a course that really, really suits me. So I would imagine that they would want to choose a well-rounded team, somebody that's really good in the time trial and maybe also in the road race, and then someone that's more of a climber type for the road race. But
yeah,
it's their call, and you know, I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. I'll just do the races, do the best I can, and see what happens.
I'll make a fuss because if you
yeah, you're a chiller,
if you keep
man.
Learning at the rate you learn, you'll be winning the Olympics next year. Oh, no God. Pressure, but
I'll definitely be making a fuss about it, man. I believe there's nobody that should be. I mean, I get tired of seeing just. Well, I mean, you say just they're wanting a well-rounded person, but what's the point of just sending well-rounded people to the Olympics to do good in the TT and do good in the road race when it's like, wouldn't you rather have someone who could a possibility of winning or podium in just the road race or in just the, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and focus on that instead of just getting a couple top tens?
Especially if we can only send a two-man team, you know,
And you have to do both, right? We have two men for the TT and for the road race, and you have to do both, right? You can't send one and one or one and just do the TT.
Yep.
But still, why choose someone that's just going to be, you know, like just top 10 or top 20 in both when you could choose someone that maybe will be last in the TT, but first in the road race?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Well, you don't have to tell Seb. He knows
thought.
That.
But me and T.
Seb's he's not selling himself here, but he deep down he knows that he's the right choice.
Deep down,
personally, I think like it would be like you and Brandon or you and Nielsen.
Yeah.
Who do you think would make the most sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the young guys are like kind of well, younger. We're not even young in cycling terms anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
Got freaking 19-year-olds. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Matthew Riccatello. Maybe Matthew Riccatello will make the Olympic team.
Run at it.
Yeah. Goodness. So then, Ab, like, what's your like long term? So you have how many years left with Lotto, and then like, what's your like objective? Because you're going to be getting into the
plan
point where you can lead these races, and you can win. Obviously, you can win a Grand Tour stage, but like, you can be able to hopefully like be contending a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I like at this point, I'd love to continue with the team. My contract goes through next year, but yeah, it's a really good team. Let's see, I just read that we signed Sam Ooman.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, so I mean, the team's only getting better, and yeah, a lot of people want to ride for the team. So yeah, it's a bit. Maybe in the future it'll be a bit hard at times to get through that pecking order or that depth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's such a good environment to be in and race in, and you know, at the end of the day, you have to be the you have to beat the other the other good riders. So if they're on your team or they're not, then it's but yeah, I mean, if you have also such a stacked team, it makes it a bit more complicated for you know, doing the races you want to do, things like that, but yeah, I think for me, I'd love to be in a more leader role in a Grand Tour or something like that, something that suits me. Yeah,
how's your Dutch coming along?
Not so amazing. It's because they speak such good English that,
I think Alexi had a similar thing there where he was like, well, I mean, the Dutch, for those who don't know, the Dutch pretty much speak English as good as most Americans. So
yeah, it's quite easy.
I mean, yeah, better, I would say. remember Tom Boley? I mean, the Swiss guy? He spoke better than we did.
Yeah, he was
like, oh, that's how you say that. Okay, that's the right grammar. Okay.
I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, that's an English word. I'm like, I've never heard that in my life.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. For that's me, awesome. I'm understanding more, so that helps, and then I can – you know, just interject with something in English and they can switch easy enough. But
Gotcha.
It's getting better. Right? Yeah, I've been studying a lot. So,
yeah, you got a Spanish girlfriend, right?
With her English is so good that it's
we're so dumb here in America.
Yeah, we are. So we don't do ourselves any favors.
No,
we're too comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Sep, I mean, what do you got? I mean, with Corona, everything, I mean, do you have any kind of advice or, I mean, being at races, those are stressful things. So do you have any advice, maybe how you handle the stress or anxiety? Or like I said, a lot of people are trying to find new ways, getting out on the bike, dealing with stress. What, you're such a chill guy. I love hanging out with you. I love riding with you. How do you always stay so chill, so positive, and so willing to learn?
I mean, for me, at least in cycling or bike racing, it's something that I love doing. And you know, yeah, you can always have a terrible day in a race, or you know, be in some situation that's not going well. But at the end of the day, I'm lucky to be doing what I'm doing, being outside. You know, so it can always be worse. There's worse jobs to have for sure.
Let me tell you, speak from experience.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you've come from cycling and then you're in a job, you're like, oh my God, this is, you know, I want to be out in the fresh air.
Eye opening.
So I think that just thinking about that helps keep me grounded and, yeah, I don't know. I just, some things just aren't worth stressing about. And, you know, I, just like anybody, I have my own, you know, internal struggles or nervousness about things, but I guess I just compartmentalize it and think about it in the big picture. You know, maybe that's one piece of advice I have. Just think about every something that's so small that is really stressing you out. Just think about it in the big picture and what it's going to do. And you know, it may not be that big of an issue, but yeah, especially during these times, you know, you just have to appreciate the little things. You know, make the most of things when they're when they seem unique in the moment, because you can't really take certain things for granted anymore, as you've seen with you know, everything being closed off, or you know, not being able to see friends, family, things like that. You know, you know, slow down and appreciate the little things. Yeah.
Wow. Dude, that was perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for, man. That was so awesome. I think, yeah, love that. I love that advice.
Well, man, I don't know what else. I think I appreciate you hopping into some details. Yeah, too.
Oh, no problem.
Cool to hear the stories of the big leagues, man.
No, man, you got two big fans over here. We love you, man. We're super on the podcast and for your time. Like I said, you're in Europe right now, and so connecting with the time zones is a little bit more difficult sometimes, so grateful for your time. And you know, if everyone wants to follow Sepkus, just go give him a follow on social media at Sepkus.
Strava is ridiculous.
Yeah, and Strava.
You want to see what it takes? 15. This man puts in some serious work, and you can see it on Strava because it's like 15,000 feet of climbing every single day. Oh yeah, yeah.
Nothing but mountains. Yeah,
it's unreal.
Oh, gosh. True mountain goat.
Yeah, you got to get home somehow. Yeah. You know, you got to get right on. Get back up the mountain.
Yeah, but most of us would choose to go around the mountain rather than over.
Well, maybe chairlifts are working, then it'll be a bit easier around here. But
that can be your tour recovery.
Yeah, exactly. Just hit the bike.
Are you going to do the Volta after?
I'm not sure.
The Giro or the Volta. Would you like to do like a second Grand Tour this year? It's going to be hard because they're pretty like compact
it.
Now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really compact. So I think they've planned at least up till that point for mm-hmm. at least for the guys that are doing the tour, and then we'll see. Yeah, if we're crawling or flying or how we're going at that point.
for sure. Well, it's gonna be sweet to watch you, and was a tour late August, like 28th. So late August, September, we'll be watching this guy on the Tour de France. It's pretty nuts.
It's coming.
That's pretty awesome, man. Sepkus fans, man. Over here. I can't wait. All right, brother. Hey, we'll let you get back. What is it?
Dinner's in some hours.
We're on the Spanish dinner time. Yeah. It's about 9 p.m. You know,
dinner's in some hours.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'm adjusted now.
Good man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks so much, Sam.
Yeah, good luck, dude. We're all cheering for you here.
Yeah, have a good one, brother.
It was fun coming full circle with you boys.
Yeah. Take it easy, bro.
Later.
But my bad.
All right. No worries.
It started.
You hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. What a great episode that was to hear, be able to hear from Sep, be able to learn and hear kind of what he had to say about the world tour and how he's growing and continuing to learn. At the end of each episode, me and Tyler wanted to take some time to keep you guys updated with, you know, what Tyler's doing racing with Legion, what I'm doing with Imaginary Collective, when I'm racing with the gravel scene. And so we just thought we'd take this time at the end of a few episodes every week to let you guys know what we're up to. So Tyler, if you want to let everyone know what races you have coming up with Legion or what you guys have coming up.
Yeah, so we have the Zwift Joe Martin stage race starting in a couple of hours, actually. So from when we are recording this, but it's Friday, June 18th through Sunday, June.
Or is it today's 18th, I think?
Yeah. So, or 19th, sorry. So, yeah, June 19th. So, through Sunday. So, we have, yeah, three stages of that. Time trial, and then two road races. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be occupied with this weekend. And then outside of that, hoping to sooner rather than later get back to actual bike racing outside. I think we're going to try and do a training camp here in July. So, maybe some actual races and activities to go get to soon. Along with that camp, I think I'm sure a lot of people have seen the GoFundMe success, which is absolutely incredible. And so hopefully we can do some things with some community outreach with that as well. So
that's the GoFundMe for Team Legion. Go check out Team Legion and Tyler Williams on their Instagram, at Legion and at Tyler T Williams, right? Or
what is TW it? Cycling.
TW Cycling. So that's important. So go check out my co-host TW Cycling on Instagram. What do I have going on right now? Right now, I've just been busy painting in the art studio. It's kind of funny times waiting for racing to start back up with gravel right now. But what's super exciting is Factor just launched their brand new all gravel bike today on the 19th. So that's super exciting. I think we're going to try doing Kanza. Dirty Kanza's on the schedule coming up
September 12th.
So hopefully that's, if all goes to plan, you guys will all see me and the boys at Imaginary Collective at Dirty Kanza. And can't wait up till now. It's just for me just riding and staying fit and been doing a lot of yoga. So if you need to follow me or want to stay in touch, go follow me at TJ Eisenhart, at TJ Eisenhart on Instagram and at Imaginary Collective. And remember, go give us a follow on our podcast Instagram account. It's the Next Stage 2. The Next Stage 2. Go show us some love. Go send us some comments, some messages on how we can improve, get better, maybe even future guests that you think we should have on. So, yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening again today and for allowing us to even let you guys know what we're up to. And we'll see you guys next week on The Next Stage.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Ciao.